In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
What's up, Don't Go Out There fans? We appreciate you tuning in again. Brian and Nico are joining me, Dustin. We went and saw A Quiet Place Day One in theaters, and we're going to hit you with a little instant reaction here. Spoilers will be prominent, I'm assuming, so turn this off if you haven't seen it. Go watch the damn movie and come back to us. I'll get us kicked off with just some of my general thoughts. You know, there was only one other person in the theater with me, so I was able to take detailed notes on my phone the whole time. But when I saw this movie was being made, I was like, but why? And did we really need it? Like, that was the two questions that I had. Not that the trailer looked bad, not that anything about it looked bad, but it's just like it felt so unnecessary. And after watching the movie, yeah, those feelings were confirmed. So that's kind of how I felt. Nico, what do you think? What's your initial thoughts?
Same. I mean, me and you were texting about it a little bit, and I only went and saw the movie just for hashtag content reasons, you know?
Yeah.
I will say positive. I have some positives for sure. I don't really have any negatives except the stuff we've talked about in the past with prequels, and I'll just wait till we get to positives and negatives when we get to that.
Okay. Ryan?
Well, I'm not afraid to say that I really liked it. Okay. I mean, yeah, I agree. It does probably work better as a good standalone film, and maybe not a Quiet Place prequel. And there is, like you said, there are some negatives I had that come from being a prequel standpoint. But I thought it was just a really good suspense slash horror movie. You know, I go to the movies to be entertained and from start to finish, and I really was. Now, I mean, I did have a shitty theater experience. I think I texted you guys a little bit about it at the start, but in a fucking... For the record, hate all you assholes that bring kids to these fucking things and don't turn off your cell phones, won't shut the fuck up. But anyway, I did go walk away from the movie fulfilled. I found Lupita was good in Us, but in this one, she was different. Like, I loved her in this one. Like, the whole, it just had a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I definitely agree. And I was entertained. So that's not what I meant. So let's go ahead and jump into the pros and I'll get us kicked off here. But I, you know, I got to be honest with you. I've got a lot more cons than pros, but that's not to say this is a bad movie. I love the concept in the first two movies, and I think that this one continued on what worked in the others. Lupita Nyong'o was brilliant. She plays a terrified protagonist so well, and I think her character battling cancer added two really good layers. Yeah. Like, number one, on top of her plight of the world ending, she's dealing with the pain and stress of fighting death, which makes the audience, you know, care and empathize that much more. And secondly, that means her character has even more of an uphill battle. Like, we've seen in the first two films how you can survive if you can just be quiet. But what if you need treatment and need medications? Like, how can you remain quiet when you're in excruciating pain? And so I think that was a good added layer that I wish they would have expanded on a little bit more, but I think it was fine. Bullet Bourbon and Stella at the pizza place, that's a hell of a silver lining. Like, if the world's ending, I'm going to try to find that pizzeria because that's a hell of a silver lining. And then, you know, it's an extremely emotional scene when she basically sacrificed herself making all that noise so that Eric could get away safely. And she gave him her cat, literally, not metaphorically. That's not a sex joke. That really tugged at the heartstrings, and, you know, there was great tension when he was running to the water. And so I think this movie had a lot of positives to it. It was a fun watch, like you said. It's going to sound like I have a lot more cons because I do, but that's not to say I didn't like it. But Nico, what was your pros?
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to echo a few things you mentioned as well. Acting was great. Lupita, she's been on our show, Well, if you count this reaction, this is our third time with her, Us and Little Monsters. I think she's carried both of those other movies. She's a great actress. She's fantastic. She did great in this one as well. Great facial acting with the fear, because there's not a lot of talking. She comes across very sincere. I like the touch that you added as well, Dustin, that you mentioned with her being sick, having cancer. That was a nice touch that you care about her, not just for making noise, but she's sick. So that was nice. Joseph Quinn, I think he answered some questions I had about him from Stranger Things. Like, he's Eddie from Stranger Things season four. Was that four? Yeah, season four. You know, he was just kind of like a fun, lighthearted character in that season. But I thought he showed some good acting chops. I thought he did a fantastic job. I didn't know Alex Wolf was in this. Alex, I think, did a great job as well. Like you mentioned, Dustin, there's a lot of action, a lot of emotion. And I wrote that in my Letterboxd review, which is kind of part of my negatives, but I'll touch on that as well. But I thought the action was great. A lot of great action scenes. This movie looked big as well. Like, it's in New York City. There's a lot of big landscape scenery. And I'll let Brian touch on I'll let Brian take over in just a second, but the last pro that I want to give is I like the fact they brought back, I don't want to butcher the man's name, Jaimin Hansu. I like the, I like the fact they brought him back, gave him a little cameo because he wasn't used in A Quiet Place 2 that much. So I appreciate the fact that they brought him back just to make an appearance.
Yeah, so I guess you kind of assume that that boat got to that island or whatever that they find in Quiet Place 2. So that is pretty cool. And you talked about the big action scenes, and that's where I can forgive this a little bit for one of the negatives that I have that I'll get to. But, you know, we saw the invasion already in the beginning of Quiet Place 2, but we saw it from a small town perspective. And so seeing it from a large scale in a large city, and it almost had, you're going to hate me for saying this, but it almost had a little bit of Cloverfield vibes to it for me. I thought, like you mentioned, Lupita and Joseph Quinn, I think they had great on-screen chemistry, and it wasn't a romantic one. It was just this beautiful thing, it was well-written between I thought, Krasinski and Sarnowski, very human. It's just a, like I said, very simple plot. It's different than what you usually get from everyone just trying to survive. Like, she was dying anyway, so it was a nice little wrinkle. She just wanted some free fucking pizza. And so that was, it was nice. I loved it.
Hey, I'll never fault someone for that.
and speaking of Sarnowski, I think it was absolutely beautifully shot. That stood out to me so much. Explosions, for example, like in the theater, they were so disoriented. Not the theater I was watching in, but the theater that they were hiding in at first. They were so disorienting when they started going off. Like, the evacuation, the trampling scene was very claustrophobic, especially when she got trapped under the car. There was a long shot of her that I noticed too, of her walking through the streets and alleys with, you know, stuff happening, people getting picked off behind her. I thought that was a very stunning shot. Very, very beautifully shot. And usually the jump scares, I would say, are a negative. But for me, like, this one, I mean, it was a positive. They were effective. There were a few that scared the shit out of me. Like, I was like, holy shit, on some of this stuff. You know, and that's not something I can say for a lot of movies.
Yeah. I hear you. Let's go ahead and jump into the cons, though, because you guys said a couple things that I'm like, So, you know, consistent with my criticism of the first two movies, I just find it hard to believe that people would just know to stay quiet immediately, especially early on in this movie when the alien was in the face of her nurse, like literally face to face. My first instinct when it started to get that close would be, oh shit, and run. But like, Buddy just froze, looked it dead in the eyes, and like somehow knew to stay quiet. I don't know. That's a little too convenient. I also find it hard to believe that the two kids hiding in the fountain would have been alive. Small kids do not know how to be quiet when they're scared. Like, they would have been screaming and crying. And, oh, they acted excited and thankful for a fucking Almond Joy. I would have snitched on her to the aliens if she offered me that nasty-ass candy bar. So that's the most unrealistic thing in the movie. They evacuated by water. Like, they knew the aliens couldn't swim. That's an awful fast to come to that conclusion, I felt like. Like, they blew up the bridges and just automatically were evacuating by water. We haven't seen any of them die by water yet, so I don't know about that.
Well, I just to rebuttal that, the helicopter that came across when they were in the theater did tell everyone to be quiet, that they reacted on sound. And when that thing came back, I don't know how the military knew, but I'm just saying they knew. And that when they came back around the second time, said something about the evacuation to get to the water because they can't deal or because they can't live in water. And so like how the military knew, now that's definitely, I don't know, but the people knew because of that, if you wanted to, you know, I get it.
I would just much rather see the process, like see people coming to these realizations like, oh shit, this worked. Maybe we should try this, you know. That would have helped me a lot. And then the idiot that grabbed her foot when she was under the cab, why grab her and yell, help me? It was completely illogical. It was just to give us a scare as the audience. It was unneeded. I don't understand Eric's character. Nico, you mentioned him. I didn't know that he was in Stranger Things, so I understand why you like his character more now. But not only was it a little too convenient for me that he just floated up in the flooded subway terminal, but he was a huge creeper following her like that, and then he turned out to be just an absolute pussy. I feel like his character should have been an early teenage boy. Like, he was scared of everything. And then speaking of pussy, the damn cat was so frustrating to me. It kept running off. And I highly doubt that a cat would have never meowed or purred the entire time. Yeah. No, not buying it. And then when Eric went to the pharmacy, how the fuck did the cat get out of the church? Like, why? Didn't seem likely that she would have let it out the door or you know, let it out of her sight right there. Or the group would have if she was passed out. Got a couple more. When the ferry was taking people and hitting the horn, I thought of something. Like, why didn't the Coast Guard, this is just not just in this movie, but like in the other two movies, why didn't the Coast Guard just set up boats, say, 50 yards off the coast and blare music loudly to draw them into the water and drown them all? A crisis averted. Yeah. But, yeah. You know.
Or shoot them.
But then we do see that, you know, the aliens or creatures, whatever, weren't so gung-ho about chasing humans into the water as they were in part two. So, I don't know. That was a little inconsistent to me. Diamond Hansu, when Eric does make it to the boat, we see him again, and I'd forgotten he was in the movie. Like, he was severely underutilized in this movie, just like he was in the second one. That bothered me. But this last one, I'll shut up. Like I said, I had my phone out the whole time taking notes. I was in there solo dolo. I think my biggest gripe is that it was just unnecessary. Like, we saw in The Quiet Place Part 2 what day one was like, and we saw how it went down. And yeah, this goes more in depth, and it's a different location, but did we need that? To me, no. But that's not to say the movie was bad, because it wasn't. It just didn't need to be made. It doesn't add anything new or anything that we hadn't considered. Now shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much echo all of your qualms as well. Maybe not to the extent, like, I didn't mind Eric's character per se. I think he felt like a... You know, you find out his story. His parents are, back in England or something like that. He came to the States to go to law school. He probably just felt alone and wanted to do something nice for somebody. I mean, I feel that. Like, you don't know, like, what your future holds. Maybe you can do one more nice thing before you're wiped off the face of the earth in a violent, horrific way. So maybe that was his approach. I'm just saying, honestly, I know you haven't watched Stranger Things, but he really wasn't my favorite character, per se, in season 4. It wasn't bad, but... That show just has a horrible, repeated process of bringing in cool side characters and killing them. This movie, another praise I'll give before I jump into more qualms is, I was surprised they killed Lupita at the end, to be honest, how they did. There were some stakes, at least. They killed off their biggest name in the movie. I didn't expect that. Personally, I wish she would have just died like in that pizzeria at the end when she's looking at the pictures. Maybe she just dies from her sickness there. I'd have probably felt a little more fulfilled that way. Than her getting killed by the creatures. But I'll just read my letterbox review, just a little part of it. I think the film knew it was a prequel and tried to distract from that by going all in with action and emotional pulls. And I think that's what they did, but it still didn't necessarily work the best for me just because, like you said, Dustin, it didn't do anything new or reveal anything. Brian, you did make a good point. It was in a bigger, much, much bigger city than wherever Emily Blunt's family is. So it was on a large scale, New York City. You can't get much bigger than that in the States. So the action and all that was cool, the scenery and all that. But I really just felt like, I don't want to say the word cash grab, but it kind of just felt like it didn't do anything new enough for it to be made. And I re-listened to our Pearl episode the other day, you know, just because we're getting ready to go see Maxine. And you kind of echoed the same thing. Like, it looked great. The acting was great, but you know, I'm like an hour into the movie, and it's like, why is the movie made? It's like, it just doesn't do anything for me. But, you know, I saw a lot of people on, you know, horror communities, the X on X and in Facebook groups who really loved it and loved the emotional pull. So I liked it. I just didn't love it. Brian, what'd you think?
I have some of the same qualms, especially the cat. Like the cat got on my nerves twice at least, because I thought, when the hell you said meow, I was like, this thing would be hissing at these things at least, you know, the cat's defense mechanism would be this, it would be gone. So I kept waiting for it to get picked off. So that was the big nitpick of mine. And because that cat led to the construction scene or whatever, where he was going through that construction. I'm not real sure if it was, but where he was trying to get the cat from those beams and stuff. It was just like, I hated that whole part, because I was like, why the hell would you even go try to get that cat? It's been following you around the whole time. Anyway, just leave it alone. It'll come back. You know, it's just that whole part I thought was just extra time.
And also, like, that scene was weird to me anyway, because, like, why is this section of New York burning? Like, it looked like fire. You know, it had that orange hue to the sky and to the look of everything. It's like, okay, let's get overly dramatic here.
And the part I was talking about with it being a prequel that went against it that I hated is the announcement, and that's what I said to you, the announcement that they couldn't swim. Like, to me, that ruins the revelation that in Quiet Place, is it too, where they the water, like, to me, that's a big revelation that they've come across. And so now, if you do watch these in chronological order, that ruins it. And so I don't really, I was not a big fan of that whatsoever at all. And then my biggest qualm was, on a personal level, it was not a very good theater experience. And I think having the movie itself just be so quiet, and then so you hear everything in the theater, made it so much worse.
Can't relate, brothers. Can't relate. But yeah, no, I hear you. And I think we pretty much agree on a lot of the main points there. I don't think any of us has said it's a bad movie, because I don't think it is. It's a fine movie. This is, to me, this is a movie that was made for hardcore fans. They're like, ooh, I need more, when you watch the first two. And so if the first two movies aren't your favorites, I don't think you're going to love this movie. I did see a couple people say that this is the best movie in the franchise, and I don't agree with that. I think you can definitely tell that Krasinski wasn't as hands-on with this one. I mean, Sarnowski directed, it was a different director, and that tells. It was shot in different ways. There's some beautiful cinematography and all that, but yeah. You guys have any other thoughts?
I got another nitpick. I wish they would have kept Alex Wolff around a little longer. I hated the way he died, personally. Like, his shirt catches and it rips. That's what got him killed. Like, he just turned off a loud-ass generator. Like, I would rather him die trying to turn the generator off than his shirt getting ripped. That kind of, like, made me more mad than it should have. I like Alex Wolff. Well, he's a good actor.
And I agree, because their walking around made more noise than that shirt rip would have. But then they, like, they made it, like, the loudest fucking shirt rip of all time, too. There's no way.
So I'm glad you said that, Brian, because that's what I meant when I said you can tell it was shot in a different way. Like, the directing between Sarnowski and Krasinski, I think Krasinski paid a lot more attention to detail as far as the decibel level of just normal things. And this movie was much louder. It was much louder. And I get it. Yeah. Day one, you don't know to be super, super quiet. So maybe that's why. But even, you know, day one and part two, I think they were quieter when shit was really going down.
But the thing is, like you mentioned, like, it being more like it was louder. Like, they showed that scene where, like, Lupita is walking against the crowd and, like, you see, like, people are pulling, rolling book bags, it's bumping over rocks. Yeah. There should have been all out chaos that whole time.
I was going to say, it should have happened way sooner than it did, because I was like, it went on so long that I wrote in my notes, like, there's no way that they wouldn't be fucking all dead right now, because it's too fucking loud. And yeah, they eventually get attacked. But to me, that was took way too long to do.
Yep. Yeah. And
building up tension. But.
And I think that this movie, another thing about that, I think this movie kind of, you know, when movies do something, they're like, ooh, that was a hit, so let's kind of beat the dead horse and do it again in the next sequel, in the next one, or whatever. You know the scene where John Krasinski's talking to his son under the waterfall?
Yeah.
Like, the whole scene with the fountain, to me, was just a way to call back to that, and it felt shoehorned, and it's like, I don't know. How would she know? how would she know that the water masked the sound? And then, you know, when she yells.
Well, that was the shit. Kids who figured it out, because they were the ones hiding. I definitely don't believe kids would have figured it out.
Well, they were hiding underneath it, but they weren't the ones that said anything. They weren't the ones that talked, were they?
She might have been the one who told them to get under there, because wasn't they just hiding behind something?
No, I think they were hiding. They were under the centerpiece of the fountain.
Okay. Yeah, definitely about kids figuring that out.
She handed him a fucking Almond Joy, I swear to God. But anyway, you guys have any other final thoughts before we wrap it up and get out of here?
I just, like I said, I think that it does, it works to me on by itself standalone movie. Not necessarily as a, I didn't look at it as adding anything extra to the franchise besides mm-hmm. just doing the same exact thing on a larger scale. But I mean, that's kind of the, I think it did enough to me to be made, but you know, I did appreciate, like I said, most of all, the unique perspective from the story standpoint of, like you guys mentioned, Lupita being battling cancer, not really trying to survive. She's just trying to live, get some free fucking pizza. She's just trying to live for and live for a few more days or a few more hours or whatever. She's not trying to get out. And that was unique to me.
No, I agree with that 100%, actually. I did like that touch a lot. You know, she just wants to get the most of what little bit of life she has left. I really like that. She did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought of something, too. I may be overly harsh in my criticism of this movie because you praised it for the unique perspective in a different location. Now, I got to thinking, holy shit, that sounds like what I said about the Purge movies. It's like they're giving us different. And I like the Purge movies. And it's like, so I don't know. What's my problem with this one? So I take back some of what I said. I like it.
Well, if it just didn't hit, it just didn't hit for you.
No, and I think it did. I think I just went into it wanting to criticize it because I knew we were doing this for content. Maybe that's what it was. I was just looking for nitpicks. But if you go into this movie just wanting to have fun, you're definitely going to do that. And I mean, I gave it 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, so which is pretty consistent with what I gave the first two. So I'm not shitting on the movie.
The most frustrating thing to me is like, I think I say this at the end of our review for the second one. It's like, just show us them finally killing these damn things and like getting the world back in order. Like, why not just make that movie? Like the end of the first one and the end of the second one basically end the same way with the little girl like killing them with this bad radio frequencies. Like, why are they just not making this movie? Like, just make that one.
Call it Loud Place.
A Quiet Place. Last day, you know, day's quiet, end or something. I don't know.
A Quiet Place. Crank up the volume. There we go.
There you go. Yeah, hell yeah. Why not?
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we've been on here for over 20 minutes now. And if we haven't confused you by the jumping back and forth on opinions and takes of this movie, then go see for yourself. Support cinema. Appreciate everyone tuning in. And yeah, catch you next time.
Just want to remind everybody.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.